Okay, so like imagine this. You have small like mom and pop shop, right?
Yeah.
And they're trying to like, you know, protect their name, their brand, and they're going up against like a massive corporation.
It's like David and Goliath, trademark edition.
Exactly. So you know those stories never really end well for David, do they?
Well, that's what makes this case we're diving into today so interesting.
It really does. So the case is called Uber Promotions, Incorporated versus Uber Technologies, Incorporated.
Happened down in the Northern District of Florida.
Yeah, and it pits a small local Florida business that had been using the name UBER since 2006 against, well, you know, the Uber.
The ride-sharing giant.
Yeah, exactly, the one we all know. And they're fighting over trademark rights.
So, like, the big question here is, can a small company with, you know, just these established common law trademark rights, can they actually stop a national brand with a federal trademark registration from, like, moving in and using a similar name?
Yeah, so it really gets at this tension between like local versus national and kind of like who gets to use what name where.
Totally. And to really understand what happened here, we need to kind of, you know, unpack a few things. We got to look at the difference between common law and federal trademark rights. We'll talk about this concept called reverse confusion.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It is, and we'll break down exactly what the court decided to do in this case, especially this thing called a preliminary injunction. And, you know, the judge in this case, Judge Walker, he had some pretty memorable quotes.
Oh, he did. Some real gems. All right, so let's like rewind a bit and get the backstory on these two companies. So first up, Uber Promotions. They'd been operating in Gainesville, Florida since 2006.
Yeah, using the name UBR and also like variations of it, like Uber Promotions for all their like event planning and transportation services.
All very local stuff.
And this is super important for you as a law student. This is a classic example of how a business builds common law trademark rights. They're using the name consistently in their local market.
So consistent use equals common law rights.
Got it.
Got it.
Right now, fast forward to around 2010. Uber Technologies bursts onto the scene.
Yeah, they're relatively new, right?
They enter Florida in 2012, start their ride-sharing thing in Gainesville in 2014. But here's the kicker. They already had a federal trademark registration for UBR since 2011, which like legally dates back to 2010.
Okay, so they got the federal registration. That's usually a pretty big deal, right?
Huge. Federal registration basically gives you nationwide rights, which is, you know, pretty powerful.
But here's the twist, right? Like trademark law in the US, it's not just about who gets to the federal registration office first.
Nope, it's more complicated than that.
It is. So even though Uber Technologies had that federal registration, if Uber Promotions was already using a similar name in Gainesville before that registration, they might actually have stronger rights in that specific area.
Yeah, trademark law can be very territorial like that. It's all about who is using the mark first and where.
Okay, so we have this kind of like potential conflict brewing. Then, in 2015, Uber Technologies decides to launch, specifically in Gainesville, Uber Events.
And that was the trigger. Uber Promotions was already doing event stuff, sometimes even with transportation, and they saw Uber Events as like a direct threat to their business.
So they decided to fight back.
Yep, they went to court, filed a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Florida.
That's a pretty big step.
And they didn't just stop there, they also asked for a preliminary injunction.
So, like a legal pause button.
Yeah, they wanted the court to basically order Uber Technologies to stop using UBR in Gainesville, at least until the whole case could be decided. It's a way to prevent like potentially serious damage to their business while everything's being sorted out.
So basically, like, pump the brakes while we figure this out.
Exactly. And the court actually granted that injunction, at least partially, which is a pretty big deal at this early stage of the case.
Okay, so the court's like, hold on, Uber Technologies, we need to dig into this a little deeper.
Right.
Let's get into the nitty-gritty of the legal arguments here. Like, what were the big questions the court had to wrestle with?
Okay, so the first one, like we've been talking about, is all about those trademark rights. You've got the common law rights of Uber Promotions based on, you know, them actually using the name locally. And then you have Uber Technologies with their federal registration claiming broader rights. So the court had to figure out how do these different types of rights work when they like clash like this?
Yeah, because it seems like they might be kind of bumping into each other.
For sure. So common law trademark rights, those come from actually using the mark in business in a specific place. So the protection you get usually only extends to the areas where you've been using the mark and where people actually connect that mark with your specific goods or services.
So for Uber promotions, that would be like in and around Gainesville, right?
Exactly. That's their territory. Now, federal registration, like what Uber Technologies has, that usually gives you this assumption of nationwide rights. It's like, boom, you're protected all over the country.
And it comes with some perks too, right?
Oh, yeah. A bunch of legal advantages, like people are assumed to know about your trademark and they can't claim ignorance later. But, and this is huge, a federal registration isn't unbeatable.
There are exceptions.
Big time. And this is where that local use comes back in. If someone was using the mark locally before you got your federal registration, they might have better rights in that specific area. So the court had to figure out if Uber promotions using UBR in Gainesville before Uber Technologies got their registration was strong enough to beat that federal registration, at least in Gainesville.
So it was kind of like federal reach meets local history.
Exactly.
And the court basically said that local history matters.
They did. They said that Uber promotions showed enough evidence to say, yeah, it's likely they have these enforceable common law trademark rights in Gainesville because they were there first.
So being the first one in a market can be a huge advantage.
It can, because it shows you've built up that recognition and goodwill in that specific place.
Lesson learned.
Mm-hmm.
Document everything about your brand right from the start.
Absolutely. It's like proof you were there first. Okay, so we know that Uber promotions likely had some rights to UBR in Gainesville. Now, the next big question is, were people actually getting confused?
Right, because like one company is this huge tech platform, the other's doing local events and stuff. So how does the court actually decide if people are mixing them up?
So there's this like test the courts use called the likelihood of confusion test.
A test.
Yeah. And in the 11th Circuit where this case was, they use 7 factors to see if people are likely to think the goods or services from 2 companies are actually coming from the same place.
Okay. 7 factors. That seems like a lot to keep track of.
Well, let's break them down one by one and see how they played out in the Uber case.
All right, let's do it. Factor number 1, go.
Factor 1 is the strength of the mark. And the court actually said that UBR wasn't super strong on its own.
That's interesting.
It is, because you'd think with Uber Technologies being so big, the name would be really strong. But the court said UBR, it's kind of descriptive, like it hints at transportation or even just the word super, you know, like Uber cool or whatever.
So being famous doesn't automatically make your trademark super strong.
Right. It's about more than just how many people know the name. It's also about how unique the name is itself and what it means to people in a certain place. And in Gainesville, Uber Promotions was using UB first.
So local context matters. Okay, what's factor number 2?
That one's easy. It's the similarity of the marks. And obviously both companies were using UBR, so that's like a slam dunk for likely confusion.
Yeah, same name, more confusion, makes sense.
What about factor number 3?
So that's the similarity of the actual goods and services. And this is where it gets interesting, because while Uber Technology is known for ride sharing, that whole Uber events thing in Gainesville, that directly overlapped with what Uber Promotions was already doing.
Yeah, the event planning and sometimes transportation. So similar services, potential for mix-ups, for sure. Factor number 4 and 5, those are all about the similarity of how they sell and advertise their stuff. So the court looked at, are they reaching customers in the same ways? Are they in the same places?
Yeah.
Well, Uber Promotions was mostly using local advertising, you know, word of mouth, stuff like that. Uber Technologies, they've got the app, they're doing big digital marketing campaigns.
Totally different approaches.
But they were both trying to get customers in Gainesville, which is the same market. So the court said there's some overlap there.
Okay, so maybe not identical, but enough to raise some eyebrows. What about factor number 6?
That's intent. Like, was Uber Technologies trying to confuse people or, like, mess with Uber Promotions' business on purpose? And this is where Judge Walker, the judge in the case, he had this great line, elephants don't look out for gurgles.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
So basically, Uber Technologies was so big, they probably weren't even thinking about little Uber Promotions.
That's what the court thought. Yeah. They said there wasn't strong evidence that Uber Technologies was being sneaky or malicious. It seemed like they were just launching new services as part of their normal growth, not specifically trying to step on Uber Promotions' toes.
So even though they might not have meant to cause confusion, it could still happen, right?
Exactly. And that's why the court still considered it a problem. All right. And factor number 7, the last one, is all about this thing called reverse confusion, which is a really important concept in this case.
Yeah, I've heard of that, but it's always a bit tricky to wrap my head around. Can you break it down for us?
Okay. So reverse confusion is kind of like the opposite of regular trademark confusion. Normally, you think of people getting confused and thinking a knockoff brand is the real deal. But reverse confusion is when people see this big famous brand and they think the smaller company is actually the one copying or ripping them off.
Oh, I see. So it's like instead of thinking the small company is trying to be the big company, people think the small company is riding the big company's coattails, even though they were there first.
Right, exactly. So in this case, people in Gainesville might see like Uber ads everywhere, and then they see Uber promotions and they think, oh, are they trying to like be Uber? Are they some kind of like weird offshoot? And that can be really bad for the small business because it makes them look less legitimate.
Yeah, damages their reputation.
Totally. It's like, imagine there's this cute little bakery in town called Apple Bakery that's been around forever. And then suddenly Apple, the tech giant, comes in and starts a catering business in the same town.
I'll get it.
People might think, wait, is Apple Bakery trying to copy Apple, the tech company? Even though the bakery was there first? That's reverse confusion, and the court said it was a real risk for Uber promotions.
So the court found that all those factors pointed to a pretty good chance of confusion, including this reverse confusion thing. So then what? What did they do about it?
That's where the preliminary injunction comes in. Remember, they wanted to temporarily stop Uber Technologies from using UBR in Gainesville while the case was going on. But to grant a preliminary injunction, the court has to weigh a bunch of things, like will the moving party, Uber Promotions in this case, suffer if we don't grant the injunction? And how will the injunction affect both companies? And what about the public interest? And, you know, is the moving party even likely to win the whole case?
So a lot of things to balance.
A lot. So let's see how they applied it here. The court said, yeah, Uber Promotions is probably going to be hurt if we don't do something. Like, they could lose their reputation, people might stop trusting them, things like that. And that's really hard to fix later, even if you win the case.
So that's that irreparable harm idea, right?
Yep, exactly. But then the court also had to think about how an injunction would affect both companies. They said, well, if we completely ban Uber Technologies from using UB in Gainesville, that's going to be a huge problem for their ride-sharing business.
Yeah, that seems a bit extreme.
Right. And Judge Walker, he had this really funny way of putting it. He said using a broad injunction in this case would be like a bazooka in the hands of a squirrel.
Okay, I'm definitely using that one. So they didn't want to overreact.
Exactly. And they also had to think about the public. The public is interested in making sure people aren't getting tricked by confusing trademarks, but they're also interested in having businesses compete and offer choices.
So it's a balancing act.
Big time.
Yeah.
So what did they actually do? They told Uber Technologies, you can't use Uber events in Gainesville. That's it.
So they focused on the most confusing part.
Exactly. The service that was directly competing with Uber Promotions. And they told Uber Technologies they needed to make it super clear that the two companies were different, like by having a separate phone number for Uber Promotions in Gainesville so people wouldn't call the wrong one.
So like a targeted solution.
Very targeted. They wanted to protect Uber Promotions without totally shutting down Uber Technologies' whole operation.
Yeah.
It was all about addressing the specific confusion the court had identified.
And Judge Walker, with his awesome quotes, he really makes it clear why the court went this way.
He does. Like the elephants and gerbils thing and the bazooka analogy, it just shows how much the court understood the situation and wanted to be fair to everyone involved.
It's like a law school lesson in itself. So for all our listeners out there, especially those of you who are going to be lawyers someday, what are the big takeaways from this case?
Well, the first one is that if you're using a trademark locally and you've been using it consistently, you've got rights, even if someone else comes along later with a federal registration.
So those common law rights are real.
They are, and this case proves it. Second takeaway, reverse confusion is a real thing, and it can be a big problem for small businesses.
So if you're a small business going up against a giant, you think people might be mixing you up, remember that Apple Bakery example, and remember this case, you might have a case.
Absolutely. And the last takeaway is that courts try really hard to be fair and find solutions that address the specific problem without causing more problems. They're not just going to shut everything down.
They're looking for that Goldilocks solution. Not too hot, not too cold.
Exactly.
So for all you future lawyers thinking about how, you know, big brands are always moving into new markets and bumping into local businesses, what does this case tell us about how trademark law is handling that?
It's a really interesting question. It shows that the law is trying to protect both the big players and the small guys, and it's figuring out how to balance those competing interests. And it's not just about trademarks either. Like, these ideas of who is using what first, where, and whether people are confused, those come up in all sorts of legal areas, like unfair competition.
Yeah, this case is just one example of a much bigger conversation that's going on.
It is. And, you know, with everything moving online, those traditional boundaries of, like, local and national, they're getting really blurry.
That's true. It's a whole new world out there.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do a deep dive on that sometime. Like, how does trademark law work in the digital age?
Oh, that's a great idea. We should definitely add that to the list.
Awesome. Well, that's about it for this deep dive into the Uber case. We hope you guys found it interesting and informative.
Yeah, and hopefully it gave you some things to think about.
Definitely. So until our next deep dive, keep learning, keep asking those Gov questions, and keep exploring the world of law.